Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. That is the number to call in to the Stephen A. Smith Show right here on SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Got a jam-packed show coming your way at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. College football analyst extraordinaire, the one and only Kirk Herbstreit, my colleague at ESPN, ABC. He will be on the line with us to talk about the whole college football playoff landscape and all the things that have been going on in college football. It is something to keep an eye on. Make no mistake about it. We'll be getting into that today, plus some NFL action today as the Dallas Cowboys ascend. Detroit is on the verge of eliminating itself from playoff contention. That's something that definitely we need to pay attention to as the show progresses. It's something that we'll talk about. The Eagles, a lot of people are losing faith in them, thinking the Dallas Cowboys are going to catch them for NFC East supremacy. Who's your top five teams in the National Football League? I'd be interested in knowing, because I think right now it's a hard thing to sell. It could be Seattle. It could be Los Angeles. It could be the Chicago Bears. It could be the New England Patriots, particularly considering what happened with them last night and how they manhandled the New York Giants. By the way, that New York Giants kicker, that I've never seen a kicker miss the football. I never saw it in my life until in all my years of watching National Football League, even watching colleges. I've seen some awful kicks. What I've never seen is a non-kick, a dude that gets his foot in, you know, he misses it by kicking the grass. Absolutely, positively hysterical. And just the latest evidence of the ineptitude that has been reeking through the Giants franchise like a virus. At some point in time, we can have a conversation about how the Giants have gone from being in the discussion over a decade ago as arguably the gold standard in the National Football League, particularly after their Super Bowl win in 2011 over Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, to being an absolutely moribund franchise. Laughable in so many ways, very little to no respect because of how the organization has been run. And everybody looks at the Giants right now and it's like, what has happened to them? Clearly one of the top three worst franchises in the National Football League for the better part of a decade and a half, or the last decade and a half. So that's something that we can certainly get into as well. Again, the number to call up is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. But the first order of business before I get into anything is going to be Lane Kiffin, and then after that, some college football. Let me say this. Now that it's all over, Lane Kiffin had a press conference yesterday. He is the new coach for the LSU Tigers. Okay? And again, I'll get into the NFL in just a minute, but Lane Kiffin is the new coach for the LSU Tigers. And he had a press conference yesterday. And I think it's fair to say that it was not his shining moment. First things first, let's get to cut one, Lane Kiffin, in his introductory press conference as the new head coach for the LSU Tigers. Listen to what Lane Kiffin had to say.
I can sum it up by saying this. This place is different. And having watched this place for a long time, having been on the other sidelines in the stadium, this place is different, and that's why we're here. We have a lot of work to do with that, but I'm very grateful for the opportunity to lead one of the elite programs in all of sports.
That was a nice sound, but it gets better. Go to cut number two, please.
Leaving Ole Miss was extremely difficult decision. And in that, we tried every single thing possible to continue to coach the team through the playoffs and to continue to coach the players. In the end, that was their decision, and we totally respect that and appreciate the time and energy that we tried to figure out a plan to do the best thing at the time for those players. The last 6 years of my life have been the best 6 years of my life, and I owe that to all the players, all the assistant coaches, and the people of Oxford. It was amazing. It will forever be a major part of my story. So grateful for those relationships and all of those people that I got to meet.
He went on, because I have to admit, as much as I support his decision. He was a bit hard to listen to because, to be honest with you, he was full of it. When Lane Kiffin comes out and he says, I have no idea, I don't do this for money, and I have no idea how much money I'm making. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, don't take my word for it. Listen to what the man said. Play that sound about his money, please. That's the one I'm waiting for. Play this for the audience.
I said through the process, okay, I'm never going to make a decision on money. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know what my contract is here. That's not very financially responsible, okay? I'm sure it's really good, okay? I don't know what it is, nor did I know at the other places what the numbers were. Because I said in the beginning, I told Jimmy Sexton, don't tell me the numbers, okay? I want to make a decision that has nothing to do with money.
Really? You see, you know what? Y'all ever heard of the phrase, it's not really the crime most of the time, it's the cover-up? That's what you found yourself thinking about Lane Kiffin. So you got college football analysts everywhere excoriating him because they said he could have handled it better, he could have handled it differently. To be on Front Street, here was my position, so we all understand where I'm coming from. My mentality was very, very simple. Contractually agree that you will not purge any players from Ole Miss to come to LSU, nor any coaches. And if you're willing to commit to that, then Ole Miss should let that man coach their team and try to win a national championship. In 6 years at Ole Miss, the man's record is 55-19. Only Alabama at 67-12 and Georgia at 71-8 have more wins among SEC schools since the start of the 2020 season. The Rebels, meaning Ole Miss, have the 8th most wins among power conference teams during that stretch. Over the last 4 years, they're a top 4 program in the nation. Only Ohio State, Oregon, and Georgia have more wins than Lane Kiffin. That's it. That's it. So what he's accomplished as a winning coach, I don't think gets to be ignored. Now, again, you don't want him to be a recruiting tool for LSU, but he's going to do that anyway. And if we're talking about Florida, if we're talking about Alabama, even if we're talking about Auburn or somebody, I get it. We're talking about Ole Miss. We're talking about Oxford, Mississippi. Now, I'm going to say it, okay? Now, I got people in this room. Listen, I'm a content of character kind of guy, all right? I'm judging you by you, not the color of your skin. Okay, but I'm going to say this. I'm in the South. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia right now. I got to speak at a business conference this evening. That's why I'm here. I'm coming to you from Atlanta, GA. And I'm going to put it out on Front Street because I'm not showing their names, but I got two white people sitting right in front of me, right in front of me, within 5 feet of me. I got a few white people outside this damn studio. And I'm going to say it to their face right here, right now, with nothing but love and affection and pure honesty. When you're black and you hear the word Mississippi, it gives you cause to pause. Now, that ain't popular. I'm quite sure that SiriusXM, ESPN, or anybody else doesn't particularly like me saying that. Hey, the truth is the truth. I'm not talking about people in Mississippi who were born there, raised there, lived there, knows the ins and outs, knows the difference between Jackson, Mississippi, and Oxford, Mississippi, and other places in Mississippi. I'm not talking about those who are more intimately connected to the state. I'm just talking about the average black Joe out there. When you hear the word Mississippi, it gives you cause to pause. And the reason that's relevant and you bring it up is because the chances are you ain't going to be able to recruit for Oxford, Mississippi the way you can recruit for LSU. Not a $25 million. Reportedly, that LSU throws into its NIL coffers for Lane Kiffin to use to lure some marquee athletes to LSU certainly doesn't hurt. And I didn't hear about Ole Miss having $25 million to throw in the NIL either. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know about that. But what I'm saying is, if you're a five-star athlete and you're a brother and you from someplace other than Mississippi, when you hear Mississippi, you go like, huh? I gotta think about that. That's just the truth. We got to stop playing these games, stop lying to American people when we talking to them. That ain't going to happen on the Stephen A. Smith Show. The brothers are going to be a bit, I ain't saying possible now, because you got some black players on the team, and I'm quite sure all of them ain't from Mississippi, so I get it. I'm just telling you. It's going to give you a cause. It's going to give you a cause for a momentary pause. And sometimes that's the difference between you going to Ole Miss or say somebody place like Georgia or Alabama or even LSU. You understand? When you got somebody like Nick Saban, all of a sudden Alabama don't have that kind of ring to it because Nick Saban was in the house. And even with him being gone, the legacy that he's left behind has an effect. You Ole Miss, you ain't winning nothing since 1962. John F. Kennedy was the president. He was alive. He wasn't assassinated, God rest his soul. There was no Kim Kardashian. It was Marilyn Monroe. That's what they had. Even though, in my personal opinion, Raquel Welch was much, much better. But I digress. My point to you is, it was a different time. It's over 60 years. Over 60 years, if you're trying to win a national championship, here's the question that I have for everybody out there, for everybody in this room, for everybody outside this studio and hallway. Listen, I know you don't want to recruit for LSU. I understand that. But since he's going anyway, my question is, what gives you the best chance at the national championship? Something that has escaped you since 1962. If Lane Kiffin gives you that best shot at a national championship, even though he's leaving for LSU, if I have an opportunity to make sure you're not taking any players nor any coaches from this program, and as long as you agree to that, let's go and try to win the national championship, and the players want him to coach him, I'm saying, yeah, I would do it. But I understand how I could be in the minority. I truly do. 888 Mad Dog 6 is the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. So that's one thing I want to get out of my way. I'll get into the NFL and the New England Patriots, who may very well be the best team in the National Football League right now, the way Drake May is looking, in just a minute. But I wanted to transition to college football and the college football playoffs right now, because there's some things that's going on that we all need to understand as it pertains to these college football rankings. Remember, they're going to give you the rankings, the latest rankings tonight. So we're going to find out what's going on. So in terms of just ironing out what's coming up this week and college football playoff bubble watch entering, you know, this weekend, you got the Big 12 championship, 11-1, both BYU and Texas Tech going at one another. You know, when they played in Lubbock, Texas last month, Texas Tech's defense dominated the matchup in a 29-7 win. So they already got a victory over BYU. Let's see what happens this weekend. You got the SEC championship, 11-1 Georgia versus 10-2 Alabama. Georgia's in all likelihood. If they drop this game, they're still considered a lock to make the college football playoffs. But the Tide is another story. See, Georgia would only have two losses. If Alabama loses, it would be three. And that would drop them into the crowded bubble alongside BYU, potentially, definitely Miami, Vanderbilt. Let's not forget them. I got to bring Diego Pavia back on the show with his coach, by the way, from Vanderbilt. They've had a great, great storyline this season. It's really good to talk. I'm looking forward to talking to them later on this week. I'm going to make that happen. You got Vanderbilt and, of course, Texas, with Steve Sarkisian making a case for himself and the Longhorns, because they've been the only competitive matchup for Ohio State this year in the season opener. Now, they didn't, to me, you know, they shouldn't have had that loss to Florida, and they shouldn't have got blown out by Georgia. But nevertheless, we're looking at a situation where they're trying to make a case for themselves for the college football players. The Big Ten championship, and by the way, somebody's going to have to tell me why the hell are they called the Big Ten when you got 18 different teams in the conference. Why the hell are you the Big Ten anymore? What, the Big 18 don't sound right? Well, the Big Ten ain't accurate. So what's up with that? I don't understand it, but that's neither here nor there. This is the first time in a Big Ten championship you got two dudes that are both undefeated in Ohio State and Indiana. Ohio State's the defending national champions. Them and Indiana have been the two best teams in the conference as well as the two best teams in the country in the eyes of a lot of people, particularly the major polls. All right? I already told you the first time in Big Ten championship game history, both teams will enter the game undefeated. And they'll be fighting for a number one seed in the college football playoffs, okay? So we got to pay attention to that. To me, I'm going to be looking for what it tells me about Indiana. Because I know Indiana beat Oregon. I watched some of that game earlier this year. But for the most part, you did find yourself asking, who did they play? Catch of the year was that dude that caught the touchdown pass against Penn State. You know, with his, on his tippy toe, looking like a ballet dancer. That was a phenomenal, phenomenal catch. No doubt about it. And that rescued them against Penn State. I think that was like the second game since James Franklin had gotten fired. All right. But nevertheless, they're both undefeated. That's going to be the game to watch, no question. Georgia-Alabama is must-watch, definitely. But, of course, Ohio State and Indiana. You got to pay attention to that, okay? ACC championship is interesting. It's a lot of stuff. And I'm reading from my notes here because I don't watch much ACC. I've watched a couple of Miami games. You know, I certainly watched Pitt get their asses kicked by Notre Dame, all right? I haven't really watched Virginia this year or whatever. But just looking at this stuff, all right? So you got Virginia and Duke. They made the ACC championship game despite Miami being the highest-ranked team from the conference, all right? So you got SMU, Miami, Pitt, Georgia Tech, and Duke finished in a five-way tie for second place in the ACC standings with 6-2 conference records. After all the tiebreakers were run, Duke emerged as the representative for the championship game, all right? They're 7-5 overall. That includes non-conference losses to Illinois, Tulane, and UConn. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm prejudiced. I'm not going to lie. You got losses to Tulane, UConn, and Illinois. I don't want to see you in the college football playoffs. I just don't. I don't even want to think about you. Okay? So since you got those losses, you got to remember, the Blue Devils faced 6 of the top 11 teams in the league during its conference schedule. All right? And that slate combined with the key wins proved valuable when trying to figure out how to sort a five-way tie. I got that. They all saying that. Those losses, I ain't letting you in the playoffs. That's just me. It's not mandatory that a conference champion from the Power 5 conference got to go into the playoffs. It ain't mandatory. It's likely, but not mandatory. I'm not putting you in there with losses like that. That's just me. That's just me. But, of course, we got to pay attention to Miami. Left out of the conference championship game despite being the highest-ranked team in the league. They were an impressive. They was it, 38-7 win over Pitt on Saturday, leaving them at 10-2 overall but 6-2 in the conference. I mean, they could still end up winding up in the college football playoffs as an at-large team. But the path to the college football playoffs as one of the five highest-ranked conference champions is closed with the results from Week 14. So, there you have it. Five lost Duke can win the ACC. Three of the four power conferences will have championship games that feature rematches. Alabama might have to beat Georgia a second time just to stay in it. You got BYU and Texas Tech. They're from the Big 12. Some are currently in the top 10 is out. All right? So I'm just looking at all of that. You got to break it down that way. Can't wait to talk to Kirk Herbstreit about this stuff because it is fascinating to see what's going to happen. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Ole Miss because, yeah, Lane Kiffin is gone. Just like when that cat, the quarterback, went down for Florida State and Florida State was left out of the playoffs even though they were undefeated. You got to remember, there was a couple of games they played without him and they didn't like how they looked and they left them out of the playoff picture. In this case, there were no games without Lane Kiffin to judge Ole Miss on because he coached them through the Egg Bowl this past Saturday. So it's going to be interesting to see what transpires. It really, really is. All right? And as far as independents go, you got a lot of haters for Notre Dame out there. They won 10 straight after an 0-2 start. And by the way, all 10 games they won were by double digits. Their best wins were against USC and Pittsburgh. You kind of need something tougher than that. You understand? But we all know Marcus Freeman's a hell of a coach. We know Notre Dame was in the national title game last year. We know they've made a good showing and a good case for themselves. And considering how haphazard college football has been to some degree this year, you haven't really looked at Notre Dame and definitively said there's absolutely, positively nobody that they can beat. okay? Maybe Ohio State, but that's about it. Everybody else at one point in time or another has looked vulnerable. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens. At number nine, it says the Irish are safely in the field, that they can stay there through conference championship, you know, chaos. The concern would be if Alabama won the SEC and jumped Notre Dame, pushing the Irish to number 10, and if BYU and Texas Tech both made the playoffs. If BYU wins the Big 12, both teams are highly likely to make the playoffs, which means someone currently in the top 10 would have to be excluded, which means that has you thinking about the Fighting Irish. All right? And then when you have these other guys, the Tulane, if they were to win the American Conference, it'll represent the group of five in a playoffs. Tulane is currently the only group of five team ranked by the committee. But if North Texas wins, it would be the most likely team to reach the college football playoffs given the overall strength of conference this season. It's a mess. That's how the NCAA likes it. They like messy. Because when it's messy, you're talking about them. And that's what they care about. They're like the college football version of Jerry Jones. What can I say? 888 Mad Dog 6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. The New England Patriots are making a statement. The road to the Super Bowl is coming through Foxborough. And we're doing it without Tom Brady. That's what the hell they're saying. That's what the hell they're saying. Drake May, lights out, balling. Defense responded to the challenge. Vrabel, coach of the year candidate, no doubt about it. Got to give props and love where it's due, because he's doing an outstanding job. To me, the top two candidates for coach of the year right now are Mike Vrabel in New England and Ben Johnson in Chicago. Because that victory over the Philadelphia Eagles was big. Can't say they weren't playing anybody anymore. It's going to be real interesting to see what happens, what direction people are going to go in. We'll find out. We'll talk about that as the show progresses here today, right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Those are a couple of things to think about, no doubt. Here's my thing. Ain't nobody scared to come through Foxborough. But they'd be damn scared to go through Seattle. That's a different home field advantage right there. That's insane in Seattle. Be real interesting. A lot of stuff to talk about today. And I'm here for it. 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. Your call's up next with Stephen A. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.